93.1 FM, 792 medium wave and online. BBC Radio 4.
It's 6:30 on Friday, the 19th of April. This is a special edition of The Breakfast Show with Elaine McGee
and Sean O'Halloran. Just one story this morning. A 29-year-old journalist has been shot dead during rioting in Craigan. There's been widespread condemnation of the murder, which the police are treating as a terrorist incident. Dissident Republicans are blamed. We'll have reaction throughout the programme.
It's 6:30. There is widespread shock after the murder of a journalist during rioting in Craigan last night. This is a BBC News special. We're on air earlier this morning at the earlier time of 6:30. Let's just start by taking you through what we know so far. So what we do know is that the crowd started to gather in Craigan at around 10 o'clock last night as a major security operation got underway. It was in and around the Fannad Drive area. Things started to move quite quickly in terms of petrol bombs, bricks, bottles being thrown at police in the area.
The petrol bomb and stuff kept going on and on. Around 11 o'clock then, just kind of distinguishable pop, pop, pop of gunfire. And I immediately took cover behind a wall, a sort of a wall beside a house. But directly in my line of vision, there was a police Land Rover, and I saw a woman run to the ground right beside, sort of beside one of the wheels at the side of the vehicle. Her friends realised what had happened. There was screaming, there were people in hysterics, there was crying, there was people over trying to get her out from that area because the pop, pop sort of sound of gunfire was still happening. Mm-hmm. And people maybe had realised at that stage, because nobody had thought that gunfire, that anybody would fire indiscriminately into a crowd of people, because in that area of Craigan, you know, it's families and their houses and they're standing on their doorsteps looking at what's going on. There's children there. People tried to get this lady up from beside the Land Rover and get her under safety. They carried her across. You know, with the state of her injuries or the extent of her injuries, that she was very badly injured. People were screaming about an ambulance. I was like the only person standing around. I phoned the ambulance service. I told them about what had happened. I told about the condition of the lady. They're asking me if she was conscious and stuff like that. When I was on the phone to the ambulance service, the police came out of their Land Rover and also saw the extent of the lady's injuries and put her into the back of the police Land Rover. Officers put her into the back of the police Land Rover and drove her at high speed through the Burnham Barricade to the hospital, where she really sadly died.
How are you today?
Not great.
PS and I are just about to speak. We'll bring that to you as we get it. BBC Radio Foyle, online, digital, FM and BBC Sounds. We actually can go
violent
to that PS and I
Republicans
conference now.
Are planning attacks in this city, and we were looking for munitions and firearms that we believe may be about to be used across the Easter weekend. As such, we were in Craigan, carrying out a search operation, and a public order situation developed in Fannad Drive. This public order situation saw over 50 petrol bombs thrown at the police, two cars hijacked and set on fire. And then, unfortunately, at 11 o'clock last night, a gunman appeared and fired a number of shots towards the police. And a young woman, Lyra McKee, 29 years old, was wounded. She was taken away from the scene of the police Land Rover to Otlagavan Hospital. But unfortunately, she has died. Therefore, we have now launched a murder inquiry here in the city. We believe this to be a terrorist act. We believe it's been carried out by violent disorder Republicans. Our assessment at this time would be that the new IRA are most likely to be the ones behind this, and that forms our primary line of inquiry.
She had vision, she had passion. One of her earliest works was reflecting on growing up gay in Northern Ireland. That went viral. It became a short film. She believed in the power of journalism to change hearts and minds. I overheard the police interview there, press conference, where I think it was asked, why was she there last night? I don't know the full circumstances, but I think she would have been there because she lived in Derry. She was a freelance journalist and there was a news story unfolding, and that's what journalists do. They take risks to cover the news, to bring news to the public, but they should never be put at risk. This is a senseless and callous killing of a journalist, and our sympathy goes to her partner, to her family and to her colleagues. There's also a message here to the political leadership in Northern Ireland, and that is that the impasse must be broken. This is yet another family waking up this morning. There is nothing special about journalists. Each death has its own value. But when a journalist is killed in the line of work, it reinforces the need to, in many ways, to end the political impasse.
They clearly don't care what anyone thinks. They don't care about the community. They don't care about the harm that they cause. And they don't care about the loss of life. Anyone taking a gun onto the streets when there are ordinary residential streets and firing that gun recklessly into a crowd clearly doesn't have any concern for the community. And I would just appeal to anyone who saw anything or who knows anything to come forward. There is a family hurting this morning with huge loss that they will have to live with for the rest of their life. And I would appeal to anyone who can help the police bring those responsible to justice to do it, because it's the only way we will stop another family ending up going through exactly the same pain.
21 years after the Good Friday Agreement, Naomi Long, why do we still wake up to news of people being murdered in Northern Ireland by terrorists?
Because the hatred is still there. The anger and the hatred is still rife.
So many of you are getting in touch this morning. Anne has just tweeted to say the loss of Lyra is a loss for all of us. She was a bright light in a sometimes dark world. Let's talk now to Craig and Priest, Father Joe Gormley, who was with Lyra McKee's family last night. Good morning to you, Father Gormley, and thank you for giving us your time. Could you tell us when you got the call last night, or when you knew something had gone terribly wrong in Craigan?
Well, we were praying in the church till 11 o'clock last night, and I got word that it was raiding up in Fanna Drive, and then I was just heard that it was quite severe raiding, and then I got a phone call from the police who said that Lyra's partner wanted a priest to attend the scene in Anthony Galvin, which I did, and I went over there shortly after 12, where I met her partner and members of her family. And at that stage, her mother, who hadn't come down from Belfast, and it was came down from Belfast with some of the rest of the family, but it was heart-rending scenes in down in Alton Galvin. It was just dreadful. I mean, people's minds this morning, our city can't get their heads around this at all. I think Lyra, being a journalist, was on the scene and shots were fired at the police, and she was murdered as a result of that. It was intent on murder, and someone was murdered, and that's what's happened.
How do you find the words? What did you say to her family?
All you can do is be there. It's just be with the family. And I went and anointed her, and but the family and her partner have great dignity, so they have. And many of her friends were there last night, and they were all shocked as well. And They had great dignity, but they're feeling the loss this morning, and the shock is for them is awful, as in the shock is for our whole parish this morning waking up. Our parish is full of so many good people, and these people come into our area and use us to carry out such vile acts. And how dare they? How dare they do it any time? And they have done it in this Holy Week, and they've done it in a way that is totally, totally anti-gospel and literally anti-Christ.
How do you feel this morning, Father Gormley? Because if you don't mind me seeing you, your eyes closed there, you look like someone that's in pain.
No one deserves this. What cause in God's name has been served by this? And I live in a community that has suffered enough from the troubles over the years. And in fact, Lara herself, reading this morning, she herself knew about the effects of the troubles, particularly on children. And we see in our parish the effects on young people and young people's lives, the terrible, terrible effects of violence. And we have a new generation of mindless people who think that to cause a riot, to bring out guns in the street, to intimidate, to tell people that they're under house arrest or they're going to be shot. There's a level where people, a small amount of people think this is acceptable. And I think we all have to get over this idea that somehow asking anybody in this regard to do anything for you in terms of sorting out some of your problems is evil and it's wrong. And these people are not concerned about your problems, they're concerned about their own narrow agenda. And I would appeal to them this morning to desist. Now, we have there's a potential situation coming up on Monday where there's a distant Republican march. If these people have any self-respect, they will call off that march now. It's intolerable that we would have a situation where a few feet away from where Lara is murdered, that we would have people in combat gear marching through our parish. Please, please, don't have that march on Monday. You're not welcome in Craigan if you do so. You only speak for yourself and your own narrow, narrow agenda. And I would appeal to people who know members of their family involved in this movement also to encourage them to desist.
Well, I had been looking at, I'd been laughing about a message that she'd put up on Twitter last night about Slimming World and how she had had to confess all these appalling things that she'd eaten, like Maltesers and popcorn and stuff. And she was very, very funny, you know. And then I saw that she had tweeted from that she was watching the riots in Derry, and she'd said some, I think her last tweet was something like absolute madness in Derry, and we were going to meet on Monday. We used to talk about our writing, and she was a very, very brilliant writer, but above all, she was a person who was completely in love with life. She was in love with her girlfriend. She was in love with Derry. She was in love with writing. She was just an absolutely brilliant person, and she was an asset to Derry. You know, Derry was very, very lucky that Lara McKee had moved there, because she was a force for good. And, you know, her book that she was writing, which she had showed me some chapters of, was about young men who had disappeared during the Troubles, whose disappearances were never really noted as part of the story of the Troubles. So she cared very deeply about people that other people didn't necessarily care much about. So, you know, she would have been very sympathetic to young guys in Craigan who had nothing to do and were at a loose end and felt that nobody cared about them. You know, so it's so tragic in every possible way that Lara was killed, and I can't believe it. She really was a really lovely, beautiful, life-filled young person with so much to contribute, and, you know, it was a joy to know her.
We're getting so many messages from you this morning. Thank you for that. There's lovely tributes to Lara as well, and we will come to them. A lot of reaction as well to what Father Joe Gormley from Craigan had to say. So we'll get to all that very, very shortly. We're joined now, though, by the UP Councillor, Mary Hamilton. Good morning, Councillor Hamilton.
Morning.
Thanks for being here. Just your thoughts. What are you thinking this morning?
Well, I just totally condemn what has happened. First of all, I sympathise with her family and her partner. For someone who lost a loved one 47 years ago, it's just like yesterday. And unfortunately, that family's life has changed forever. And I think we can't think that these people are going to take us back to the dark days again that we've had. Because no cause is worth taking a life for. We should be agreeing to differ. But they should think of what that has done to that society. And I'm just so scared that we're going to go back again to the dark old days. Easter weekend, when should be a happy time, it was just devastating to this city and Northern Ireland.
Is there anything you would like to say to Lira's family today and her friends and her partner and the people who won't have her in their lives anymore?
Well, I'm sorry, I get very emotional.
You're okay, it's totally understandable.
So many people, and especially my brother-in-law was shot. I just sympathise so much with them. There are dark days ahead. And I would just like to think, I don't know the family, but if they ever want to ring me or talk to me, I'd be just here with them, to listen to them and try to sympathise with them. But my heart and my prayers go out to them in the days ahead.
So we want to stand together as churches with the rest of civic society, but it's a real sadness, but it will not crush us.
No, and it never does, and the city always does stand when it comes through anything. But you just think, you know, that family, she's gone. It's too late for Lira's family. She'll be a face in a photograph now for them, you know. What's your thoughts for them this morning?
Yes, every death, and I suppose clergy are constantly dealing with people who have died or who have been injured, and every death is an enormous gaping hole, an open wound in the lives of people, particularly with someone who was so young and just beginning to really establish herself as a journalist. So death is an awful pain. Anyone who opts to bring death, anyone who fires shots in the middle of a highly built up area is absolutely off their rocker. And the notion that you can kill people and somehow or other bring something beautiful out of it, that's the whole message of Good Friday. Killing people doesn't bring anything. It's the message of the Good Friday Agreement. Killing people doesn't make any benefit. And will they never learn that that's not a way forward?
The violence erupted last night in Creggan, not too far away, during police raids. During that trouble, a lone gunman carrying a handgun opened fire in the direction of the police, and Lira McKee was hit. Ironically, on the eve of the 21st anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, there's been widespread shock this morning. A local priest, Father Joe Gormley, has told this programme that dissident Republicans who are planning a march in that area on Monday morning have to now call that off, and he's described it as an evil act.
Jerry Bradley, thank you very much. And that's all we have time for this morning. We are ending earlier this morning, but thank you for listening. Thank you for all your messages. We will keep you updated as we possibly can this morning. We're going to hear now shortly the foot of the cross. It's for our Easter message. But I leave you with the words this morning of Lira McKee, who tweeted on 9th of April, simply, "Derry is beautiful." Good morning.